ది మహావతార నరసింహ మూవీ అండ్ ది ఏన్షియంట్ పురాణిక్ స్టోరీ ఆఫ్ ప్రహ్లాద షోస్ అస్ సంథింగ్ దట్ మోస్ట్ పీపుల్ కంప్లీట్లీ మిస్. దిస్ నోయింగ్ కెన్ ఫ్రీ యూ ఫ్రమ్ ఆల్ ఫియర్స్ అండ్ ఆల్ ఫార్మ్స్ ఆఫ్ సఫరింగ్ స్టార్టింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ టుడే. So if you are ready to change how you feel every single day through a simple shift of perspective that we can learn from this movie and the story, then stay with me till the end. Prahlada was not special because he was born different. He was special because he understood one simple truth about his identity, and he understood one secret. That is the secret of bhakti yoga or devotion. Now, I know what your mind is thinking. You feel you know what devotion is. You feel it is not something that is worth spending your time on. But what we will uncover today will change your perspective forever. And it can be a turning point in your life. So the power that Prahlada had, you have access to within yourself. And we will unlock this by the end. The Advaita channel is about consciousness and conscious creation. Here we explore Vedanta and various other ancient teachings from India to understand the nature of reality and to consciously create our lives. In part 1, we will talk about the hidden truth behind Prahlada's courage. Now, if you are familiar with this ancient Puranic story of Prahlada, you know that there was once a demon king, you know, who terrorized the entire world millennia ago. And he was Hiranyakashipu. He was very strong, very powerful. He waged wars against gods, and he even encountered and defeated the greatest of the greatest warriors. And he was inflicting a lot of suffering to the people, to his citizens. So this demon king was against Lord Vishnu or Narayana, and he envied him. But this Hiranyakashipu had a son who was a gentle soul, whose name was Prahlada, who was a devotee of Lord Vishnu. He worshipped Narayana. And the story goes like this. Hiranyakashipu became aware that his son was worshipping his enemy. So he began to brainwash his son and ask him to worship him instead. But the son denies. He says, "No, I know the truth. I know who my father is. My God is my father. And I am the son of Narayana, and I see him everywhere. How can I not worship him?" Now, because of his attitude, Hiranyakashipu begins to punish his son, and he even sentences him to death. He makes his son go through a lot of pain and suffering, but none of his efforts will bear fruit. Always, in some way or the other, the universe will protect Prahlada and it will save him. And ultimately, at one point, Narayana takes the form of Narasimha, the ferocious form of a lion-headed being, and he kills Hiranyakashipu. So this is the story. But throughout the story, it looks like Prahlada is always courageous. He is always brave. But this is not true at all. And there is a subtle truth here that we must understand. Here's what most people miss. Prahlada never acted brave. He simply had no fear at all. There is a huge difference between these two things. When you have no fear, there is no internal struggle. There is no pushing through anything. You simply act naturally because fear is not even present in your system. It's like walking in your own house at night. You don't need courage to walk in your kitchen. You just walk because you know you are safe. Now, if we look at the story of Prahlada, he faces great obstacles. He faced a mountain, he faced prison and raging elephants that stepped on him. But he stayed calm, like a still lake. Everyone around him was screaming and running in terror. But Prahlada, he remained as peaceful as if nothing was happening. Now imagine standing in front of your biggest fear, yet feeling as safe as you were in your mother's womb. This was the state of Prahlada. He just knew one thing more than anything else, that God is his father and God is all-powerful and all-loving. With that knowing, nothing could touch him. It was like he had a protective shield that fear could not break through. He knew that Narayana was his father. He lived this reality. And he also knew that Lord Narayana or God was all-powerful. When this was the truth for him, and when he knew that the creator of the universe himself was standing with him and was protecting him, why would he fear anything? How could fear affect him? What if you felt that same safety today? What fear would vanish? But most people confuse this kind of knowing with something else entirely. With this, let me come to the next part, which is the difference between faith and belief. There is one word that most people use wrong and it is costing them their peace. Most people think faith and belief are the same thing, but they are actually not. They are very different. Let me explain how. Belief is like a thought you try to prove. Meditation helps me. God loves me. These can be the beliefs you have. But these beliefs can be shaken. If someone argues with you or if someone presents alternative evidence, your beliefs will begin to shake and they begin to break. And notice something important here. All these belief systems can be changed tomorrow. So belief requires constant reinforcement. You need to keep working on them and you need to keep holding them together. Now let's understand what faith really is. Faith is a very different dimension altogether. Faith is direct knowing. It is not a conclusion you reach in your mind, but it is something you know in your very being. You don't believe you exist. You know that you exist. So that is knowing. No one can convince you that you do not exist because you know it. This is direct knowing. This is exactly what Prahlada had. He knew that Narayana was his father. And this father, this God, was all-powerful and all-loving. And this knowing protected him at all costs. When someone has this kind of knowing, nothing can shake them. Nothing can persuade them. Nothing can influence them. And nothing can harm them. This faith is what the scriptures speak of. Hiranyakashipu could torture Prahlada's body, but he could never touch his knowing. The knowing was deeper than the body. It was deeper than the mind. It was in Prahlada's very essence. Now, with this understanding of what knowing is and what faith is, let's come to the final part where we will understand how to achieve it. This is the path of Bhakti Yoga, the direct path to unbreakable peace. There is an ancient spiritual path in Sanatana Dharma that doesn't require years of meditation or intellectual inquiry or complex practices. And Prahlada mastered it as a child. Most people hear the words Bhakti Yoga and they think it is some complicated spiritual system. They imagine long hours of chanting or difficult rituals. But this is where most people misunderstand what Bhakti is. What devotion is. Bhakti is just a strong relationship with God. It is just seeing and knowing God in everything and in everyone. Like a husband loving his wife, like a child loving his parent. It is just about loving and having a personal connection with the God. This is very different from other spiritual paths. Most spiritual paths require a certain system, certain study, you know, certain practices to make it happen. But devotion is very simple. Of course, this doesn't come naturally for all of us, but for those whom it comes, it is a tremendous gift. Because through this, spiritual evolution naturally happens. And when we completely surrender ourselves to the divine will take care of the rest. Our life will unfold in the most beautiful way, naturally. Effortlessly. This doesn't mean all problems disappear, but your experience of problems changes completely. You handle difficulties from a place of knowing rather than fear. You would make decisions from trust rather than worry. You live from abundance rather than lack. This is not a technique that you practice for 10 to 30 minutes a day. This is just a way of life where you completely surrender to God. Now, in my own life, when I was young, devotion did not resonate with me. As I grew up and as I became a teenager, I never even thought about God. So devotion was not that interesting to me. But my mother, she was always a devotee and she was always very, very devoted. So maybe there was a subtle influence that I had there. And not just this, there was one Swamiji called Swami Aparajitananda of Chinmaya Mission who influenced me a lot when it comes to devotion particularly. Now, my perspective is completely different. I look at Narayana as my father more and more every single day. And I make sure to allocate at least some time for me to connect and to strengthen that relationship with God. And this has changed everything for me. When I say God is my father, Narayana is my father, why will I fear anything? Why will I fear poverty? How can the Son of God be poor? How can the Son of God suffer? So as I'm beginning to live like this more and more, my life is unfolding in a beautiful way, and I'm gaining that extreme level of confidence about myself and my life just because of this connection. So if devotion resonates with you, and if you feel you can make this a part of your life somewhere, you can definitely embrace this. This will help you in tremendous ways. So each morning, look in the mirror and say, I am God's child. I am the Son of God. Feel it. Don't just speak it. When you face a challenge at work, ask yourself, how would God's Son react to the situation? When you worry about money, remember that your father owns everything. When someone treats you badly, remember that your real identity cannot be touched by anyone's behavior. Just living this way can transform our lives completely. And of course, we talk about Advaita Vedanta a lot in this channel, but devotion can definitely help us and aid us in this journey of realization.